You know, for many of us, we accept the Bible point blank without any questions. There is nothing wrong about it. But what is overlooked is a lot of important things without giving it serious thought. It has been said, if people would daily apply the Sermon on the Mount and the Golden Rule, there could be fewer conflicts either personally or internationally. The media is always bombarding everyone with stories of wars throughout the world, and it seems to never end. We hear of peace committees, peacemakers, and even peace pipes, but to no avail. There are still wars and rumors of wars. The Apostle Paul told us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that people are to lead peaceful and quiet lives, but trouble always comes lurking when it is least expected. Now, how many of y'all had a peaceful and a quiet life this past week? No tumultuous events happening? I think very few of us can say we get by 7 days a week without something that may be a little unnerving on us. And you wonder about some of these people that act as if nothing ever happens. Well, maybe they have learned the secret to cope with some turmoils that happen to them in their lives. But none of us are going to get by without something to jar us, or, as I say, get kicked in the shins every now and then. And that will happen to all of us. And that's why I emphasize about the Lord's Supper today, that we really need the sacrament for our own well-being and for our nurture. And so the perplexing question, and it must be and always has been, why do some people seek to stir up trouble when sooner or later disturbances will come knocking at the door, whether it's welcome or not? Of course, there are some people who will always pick a fight at the drop of a hat. That's human nature for many people. We hear about bullying, but it's a good thing that finally people are fed up with it. But truthfully, bullying has always been around. Hey, Cain bullied Abel, his brother. Lot bullied his uncle, Abraham. So it was going on way back 2,000 years ago in the Old Testament. Well, today we call it injustice, but regardless, to reach out with an olive branch to people who have wronged us is not the usual practice. We're ready to roll up our sleeves anytime to defend ourselves. Ever consider how less stressful life would be if people would forego grudges and move on with their lives? Conflict eats up the body's energy, while contentment keeps the body respectfully healthy. If you hold a grudge against somebody, I can guarantee you 99.9% of the time, that person you have a grudge against doesn't even know it. They've moved on. Guess what? You're only hurting yourself. Have you ever seen people just sort of be sullen all the time with a grimace, frown on their face, like they've just been into a persimmon? Well, guess what? Those people need to realize that you cannot keep grudges going, because it will end up eating you alive and making you one bitter human being. Life would be a lot more tranquil, but we choose the opposite attitude and end up in therapy or in jail. Christ, in this passage, scandalized listeners because of his unusual pronouncements on dealing with those who are considered enemies. When it comes to taking the Bible literally, this is the section that should be viewed in such a way. However, it's much easier to discover obscure verses which creates division rather than promote unity and commonality of God's children. Christ even quoted an Old Testament scripture which was used, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You even hear that in movies, especially Westerns. They quote it out of context. But it was never to be done that way. We are not to seek revenge on people. And Christ wanted to make that evidently and perfectly clear about things like that. I'm going to have an English or British illustration here. I hadn't had one in a while, so it was time to have one today. There was a fellow named Sir Loftus Tottenham. Name your cat or dog Loftus next time. That's a neat name, don't you think? You don't hear that name at all much anymore, but his name was Loftus. I wonder if his nickname wasn't Lofty, but we'll go on and we won't worry about that today. He was a district commissioner and a magistrate in British India back in the old days, about 75, 80 years ago. And some of the sentences he handed down were unique and even eccentric. There was these two ladies that came before him. They were involved in a feud. And this is how he made peace between them. They were required to drink tea together every Monday for 6 weeks. Now, it's awkward to sit and snarl while sipping tea, especially if you like Twining's English breakfast tea. And they would sit there every Monday. Now, I don't know if Sir Loftus joined them or not. I don't think he did. And they did that. And guess what? Eventually, those two ladies became the best of friends before the six-week sentence was concluded. You know, a lot of times, when we get to know people or different whatever it is avenues, we may have heard bad things about them or bad things about whatever it may be. And you know, a lot of times when we get familiar with them or whatever it may be, hey, our antagonism disappears, doesn't it? It really disappears. I remember years ago after I got out of seminary, I don't know what caused it at the time, but I had a negative attitude toward Pentecostalism. And I said, if anybody ever stood in my church and spoke in tongues, I'd throw a hymn book at them. But guess what? Later on, I got acquainted with some Pentecostals and some Pentecostal preachers. And I found them to be some of the most wonderful people I ever knew. If I throw a hymn book anymore, it'll be at myself. Because you know what? You have to reach out to people. And to do so requires you maybe perhaps to change your mindset and thinking. Because a lot of times our mindsets get atrophied, as you want to call it. It gets fossilized, and we think that that's the only way. But when we get exposed to something that's positive, it washes away. It seems like it disappears. And so that's the important thing. So don't ever be afraid to encounter somebody who may actually believe a little differently than you do. Because guess what can happen? You can only learn from them. Getting back to Sir Loftus, by the way, I read about him. He said that he could live anywhere in the world if he only had a bathtub. So I guess he was a clean person in regard. You know, another group which I am very fond of are the Quakers. You know, the Quakers were ridiculed by unsavory people in their early beginnings for turning the other cheek. Christ even mentions somebody slaps you on the cheek. Ooh, I slapped the microphone instead. It gave a little bit more drama to it, didn't it? Turn the other cheek. Well, now, you can take that literally, but you know what? What if somebody says something this week to you that's somewhat hateful? What are you going to do? Make a comeback to them? That's what most of us do, you know. That's what most of us do. And that's not what Christ told us that we should follow through with. But the Quakers' pacifism has become well known. Some people accuse them of being cowards, but when the Quakers governed colonial Pennsylvania, not one Indian war broke out. Why? It was because the Quakers treated those Indians equally, gently, fairly, and respectfully. Could we swallow our pride and do the same with the rest of the world? Well, it may be difficult, but possible. We are all guilty of jumping to conclusions when perhaps we should not be so impatient. You know, patience is something that has to be learned over and over. When we think we've conquered it, a new challenge comes along. And sometimes, too, people may be difficult to convince. You know the old adage, when you can't please all the people all the time? Have you ever met people like that? They're people pleasers. I had a fellow in a church told me one time, you can't please everybody. And I said, well, I know one sure thing. He said, well, I said, I know I'll never be able to please you. Now, I was that blunt with him because I thought, you know what, I wanted to get a little revenge. But that was the wrong attitude to take on my part. The sad story of General George Thomas, who was considered a war hero by many people. But he was considered a failure and a traitor by his own family. He was a Virginian by birth. When his state seceded from the Union, Thomas chose to remain in the Northern Army, unlike Robert E. Lee. His troops ransacked much of the South and won numerous battles. All the same, while fame shone on him, even Abraham Lincoln gave him a few medals. Congress recognized him. Yet his family and the Dominion of Virginia disowned and shunned him completely. Upon his death in 1870 at the age of 54 of a stroke, his sister said that her brother to her had been dead since 1861. Forgiveness by the state of Virginia took 100 more years or so to bury its tomahawk toward him. But Thomas literally got slapped on both cheeks. He sacrificed his family in order to serve his country. That says a lot for people. Are we willing to do that? It would be hard. I don't know if I could, but he did. Christ pulled no punches when he compared people who were decent and upstanding, temple-going Jews, in relation to hated tax collectors. When he spoke about loving those that they found repugnant, can you think of anybody right now that you can see who are repugnant? I'm not talking about in the sanctuary. Just think about that. Do you ever encounter people out and about who you kind of find repulsive? That's something Christ would not have done, but we do it all the time. And he compared these decent, upstanding, temple-going Jews to the hated tax collectors. Christ certainly put them in their place when he compared treating their friends fairly while seeking revenge upon their enemies at the same level as the Gentiles. Perhaps it could be updated today. Would we want to be accused of being unloving or rude people to people we find not suitable in our social group? Of course not. Such actions, though not on the levels of assassins and terrorists, but it can be done through slander, gossip, or belittling someone because they don't fit in with the rest of us. I have a secret to share. No, it's not a scandal or anything that people can blush about, but this happened to me 21 years ago. It was in February of 2002, a few months after 9-1-1. I got a call from my sister. Our mother was dying. So I had to catch a so-called compassion flight from Miami to Kentucky. Actually, I flew into Knoxville, Tennessee. And, of course, you know how security was. It was at a fever pitch. And the plane had a layover in Charlotte. So I was in the line to go to the plane. And guess what? I got pulled out as being a terrorist suspect. Yes, I was considered a terrorist suspect. But they were doing that to everybody there. And at the time, I was thinking, what on earth are they doing? But airport security was screening and searching everybody. And you know, I didn't disagree with them on that. I'd rather for them to pull me out of line and pull somebody else out of line who may be a real one than ignore them and all that. So they did it. But I was released not long afterwards. Actually, they pulled a Bible out of my luggage. I almost made a joke, that's my weapon, but I figured they didn't have a sense of humor, so I kept my mouth shut on that one. But I figured that there are a few Middle Easterners who have blonde hair and blue eyes, so they let me go. And I believe there was a smirk on one of the security guards' faces as if he were thinking, well, if this was World War II, he could have been arrested for being a German spy, but not an Arab. I did develop an empathy toward people who may have been wrongly suspected. You know, sometimes we see things happen to people, and we do quote that old saying, "There but for the grace of God go I." But you think about that, that does have almost a slap to it. We're glad, I'm glad that didn't happen to me. But think about that. And we go our merry way, a little bit of arrogance that they didn't get us. But you know, you think about it, even denominations that we know today are very respectable, sometimes owe their names to ridicule and slander. You know, the Baptists were labeled that because they dunked people underwater. The Lutherans were vilified because their founder, Martin Luther, and the opposition called them Lutherans because they followed his teachings, because he was considered a troublemaker, a rebel, and a heretic. Well, think about the early disciples of Christ or the Christian church. You know what their nicknames were? Campbellites, because one of their founders was Alexander Campbell, and they were all vilified by the opponents as Campbellites. And to this day, you still hear that term occasionally. But today, all these denominations have it's a badge of honor today, but at one time it was an epitaph of religious bigotry. Even the Methodists were called, they were methodologists because they followed a method, and that was considered not quite that nice either. But because, you know, a lot of times because we may have our act together doesn't make us perfect. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes people will go on like they have their act together perfectly, and they're really crumbling on the inside. And that's maybe perhaps where we can come along and help them out. Maybe they need some help. We don't know. But those people, too, on the other hand, who act that way, will sometimes criticize others who don't have their act together. Christ said that until we are perfect, we cannot despise, ridicule, or ignore our fellow human beings. After all, they're children of God too. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we all fall short of the glory of you. Sometimes we think we don't, but we do. Help us daily, oh Lord, live by the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Guide and lead each and every one of us to have a humble disposition and to respect those, O Lord, who may not have the opportunities or advantages that we do. Guide and lead each and every person here today and those who are not here. We ask all this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.